hard. It was the first time New York and Srila Prabhupada, you know, really wanted Rath Yatra in New York City, practically more than anything except maybe London. So he was working and working and working, and then one Prahlada Nanda Maharaj, I think he saw it. He looked like he was very sick and he was suffering. He said, "Yes, I'm suffering very much. It's so much pain, but I didn't want to tell anyone." He said, "Because I thought they wouldn't let me keep working." So he had leukemia, very serious kind of cancer, and he had big tumors and he was suffering greatly, but he didn't want to tell anybody. So he finished the Rath Yatra. That included going around all the government and getting permission and getting all the workers and building it and getting a place to build it. So much to be done. So then he had some money, I think, at that point. Previously he had been one of the first ones to give a big donation. He inherited some money and he gave it to Srila Prabhupada for printing the Nectar of Devotion. Then he wanted to give again, but Prabhupada said, "No, you should keep that money and try to get some treatment for the cancer." So he did. He went to one clinic in Mexico and got a little better. And he came in and he made the Los Angeles Rath Yatra. And he started it without telling anyone. He just went around and got all the permission and got everything lined up. And then he came and told the leader there, he said, "No, I want to make Rath Yatra." And, you know, because he thought they might say, "No, you're too sick," or "This is that problem, that problem." But he'd already done so much of it, and that's now become the biggest Rath Yatra outside of India in the world. Maybe South Africa is coming pretty close. For one day, though, the Los Angeles one was quite big. A few 100,000 people come. The Jayananda, from the very beginning like that, then he became the driver of the traveling Sankirtan party when Kamal Krishna Maharaj left San Francisco. Then he was helping in Los Angeles. He always did the needful. Never complained. He was always ecstatic and blissful. One devotee said when he first met him, and Jayananda was saying, "You've got to have faith in the holy name. You just have to have faith in the holy name. You have to keep chanting. You have to have, no matter what. Even if something goes wrong, you've got to have faith." And this new devotee was thinking, how could anything ever go wrong? Because everybody, when we first come to the temple, somehow we think, you know, Krishna lets us see the Vaikuntha aspect, and we feel like nothing will ever go wrong. Well, this is perfect. After a while, maybe we start to see differently. But if we have faith in the holy name, he had great faith. He had great faith in Lord Jagannath. He had faith in, and he loved to serve devotees. Most important thing. So when he left his body, that was in Los Angeles, he came there. He was staying in a room across the street from the temple, the apartments are. And just before Mangal Arati, someone ran and they got Ramaswamy there. They said, "Jayananda is leaving his body, he's leaving his body." He came running down in his gumsha. And the Mangal Arati was starting, the conch shell was blowing. Somebody came running with the garland from the deities and he left his body. Of course, the tape was playing, Prabhupada chanting all the time. He was happy. He said, "I want to leave this body." You know, he didn't want to stay any longer. He had a very big, strong body, actually. Very tall. And Prabhupada once said, "Jayananda looks just like Lord Chaitanya." And then devotees were shocked. He said, "He's tall, he's white, you know. He looks like Lord Chaitanya." And he always wanted to meet him. He always wanted to be with him whenever he had the chance. He said he liked Jayananda. Jayananda always drove the car for Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was there. And he said, "You were always chanting while you were driving. I like that." But that doesn't mean I'm the japa beast or chanting. Not that we should chant japa while we drive. So he was the, there's a, if you go on the internet, there's a web page called Big Sloka 108. And that's where one devotee that knew him very well and was made a devotee by him has tried to get all kinds of devotees to give their different memories of Jayananda, even made a little book. I went with him once to get flowers. He went right in the rose garden of the Golden Gate Park. I don't know how he got in there, you know, because it's a fenced-in place. In the middle of the night, we picked so many roses for Lord Jagannath. He organized everything. He would get truckloads of flowers. Whenever Prabhupada came, he would make these garlands from gardenia flowers. Bali has a few of those in his yard, the ones that smell so good, those white ones. He would have this big garlands, you know, Prabhupada, all the way down to the ground, and Prabhupada would be covered with those. He'd somehow get those donated from the market. Those particular flower in Sanskrit is called Gandharaj. Gandha means smell and Raj means king. The best smelling flower, the king of all smells, is the Gandharaj, the gardenia flower. So he would always do things like that for Prabhupada. Just make all arrangements, but never expect any honor in return. Didn't want to be honored even. They'd ask him to give class, he would always say, oh, there's someone better than me, someone else can do it. But when he did speak, it was full of nectar. He studied the books a lot. And he loved Harinam Sankirtan. In the beginning days of the temples, when there was actually just New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, they just, basically all they did was go on Harinam. See, I asked for you to turn in the phone. Here, Haribol. Bring it. Should we put someone to the door and they'll check your phone? Some restaurants have that. Shriya. How do you turn off? It's off now. Makes me forget. If you all think the phone is more important, then why do we sit here? Why don't we just all talk on the phone? Just sit around, do puja for the phone, you know, plan which new model we're going to get. It's funny because a few years ago, if I would have asked anybody here for even the amount of money it costs just to top off the phone, I would have heard that famous mantra, we have money, we don't have money, no money, no money, no money. But everybody has money to buy the phone and everyone has money to keep it going. When you really want something, Krishna gives it. So we should work on what we want, but we should want to use it for Krishna. The phones are very convenient for using for Krishna, that we don't object. But by japa we connect with Krishna, and that's free. By chanting very clear, carefully, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then that way we actually get a direct connection with Krishna. I don't think he's going to call us on the phone. Somebody might. But we can connect, and anyone can connect just by chanting all we need. Jayananda, he called himself Jani Ananda when he met the Karmi people in the market or in the government offices. And even years and years after he left his body, that was like 1976, the people would ask, where's that Jani Ananda? And when they said he left his body, they would start crying and saying he was the best Hare Krishna, he was the best one you ever met. Everybody remembered him, everybody loved him. Devotee's parents who met him, everyone. Because that's a sign of a real devotee, that everyone loves him. Krishna says, if one's always thinking of me, then he'll be very dear to me and he'll be very dear to everyone. He'll love everyone and everyone will love him. When he went out for book distribution, sometimes even with the Karmis, he'd say, oh, Prabhu, Prabhu, please stop. And he would humbly, even he was the oldest devotee, but he would go out for book distribution, he'd do any kind of humble service. Always pay obeisances to everybody. Later he was in a wheelchair, he was very weak and thin, but he was completely enthusiastic, calling on the phone all day because he couldn't do anything else, inviting people, please come to the temple. And so many people were coming in New York. When I went to the Sunday feast, I was asking everyone, the new guests, how did you find out? Why did you come? They said, Jayananda asked me. Jayananda asked me. They couldn't refuse him. I wish we had some of those books. Maybe we can get some. But these are the type of people we're supposed to meditate on. I was in the airport, I think, in Abuja, and I saw the books and the CDs that they had. Biography of Saddam Hussein, story of Bin Laden, you know, the history of some war, a few different wars that Nigeria had. So this is what they teach people, this is what they teach in the schools, you know, to study all the various corruption, and the newspaper has every detail of everybody's corruption. Of course, who knows what's true? You can write whatever you want. But the devotee wants to think of higher things, like Christians that are sincere. They make a lot of advancement by just thinking of Jesus all the time. And they want to be like Jesus. We used to sing a song when I was young. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. You have that one? So we grew long hair. I'm like Jesus. Right? Jesus had long hair. That's all we ever knew about him. He didn't teach us anything else. You know, a little bit, a few slokas. But if you really study the life of great saintly people, and even in our movement, there's many now, and there were many. Jayananda was definitely one of the... No one will disagree. Some of the other even devotees who were big gurus and left their body in good standing, still there's people that say no. He was not a big guru. But Jayananda, nobody disagreed. I mentioned that once to one godbrother who's expert at criticizing, and who's also from the very early time, criticizes everyone. It's like his dharma or something. And I said, no one ever criticized Jayananda. He said, he never did anything wrong. He did only good things. But he always had a beautiful smile, and he was always peaceful. So he avoided, you know, getting into too much, you know, managing the temples and all, but like Harinam in San Francisco when he was temple president, it rains a lot there. So much of the time it's raining. So he got these big coats like sailors wear, with yellow ones that are very strong, you know, for being in the storm and they're down to the ground, and a big hat. And all the devotees got those, and they put the mridanga inside of a plastic bag. And they went out and chanted in the rain. Went and walked all over the city. This is the... In those days, Harinam was every day 5 hours, 6 hours, even more sometimes. And of course, everybody was always happy, and many people joined. Because even though there was no material facilities very much, no comfortable anything, there was that ecstasy of chanting the holy name. He showed that verse. He loved to chant. And he was always chanting no matter what he did. But he never was idle. If he was talking, he talked about Krishna or Prabhupada. Many devotees joined. They went to the temple, and he was the only one there. He said, well, can you help me? Took him out back, and they, you know, the temples had a lot of devotees. There was a lot of garbage. Pick up all the garbage, put it in the truck, drive to the dump, throw it out, come back. And one devotee told me, and Jayananda the whole time was talking about Krishna and Prabhupada. He said, are you the leader here? Are you in charge? He said, no, I'm just a garbage man. So this devotee thought, well, if he's the garbage man and he's so ecstatic, I'm joining. So he joined. The hippie people, they join like that sometimes. They disjoint. They came to the temple and didn't leave. They didn't have a home anyway. Didn't have very much possessions. So that Krishna and Prabhupada came at just the right time to catch a lot of people. But he was well respected. Everyone respected him as a senior person. He materially was a bit older than everyone else. Spiritually, because he was always in ecstasy and desire to serve. This is something we try to talk about, the service attitude. The most important thing, called seva vritti. It's actually, Prabhupada says that you can test the quality of your chanting by how much your service attitude one has. One devotee who's a very big preacher and makes so many devotees in Malaysia, he said, well, he's always looking for future leaders, because in order to expand, you have to have many leaders. I said, well, how do you recognize a potential leader? He said, by whoever has that service attitude. When a new person comes and they just start serving prasadam, or they just ask you, what can I do to help? Those are leaders. Not the people that come and tell you, oh, you should do like this, you should do like that. Let me organize everything. Let me tell you how to run your temple. But the people who want to serve. That's what Krishna likes. Hare Krishna, Sevaya. Submissive service and questions. When one just wants to serve, then that's what impresses Krishna. And that's what makes us happy, and that's how we can attract more and more people. We want it, everybody to try to remember Jayananda. I'll try to remember more. I have that book in my computer, actually. It has a lot of different things for devotees to remember. Being with him. You know, in different times of his career. But always, everybody just remembers that he was completely humble and completely compassionate towards every living entity. And he just wanted to help devotees, always anxious to serve the devotees. He was in the hospital once, and he said, I'm really hungry, you know, bring lots of halava and sweet balls and everything. And then he went all over the hospital giving everybody prasadam and PCGs and preaching to everybody. In the hospital. Made me feel bad when I heard that. I was in the hospital, I didn't do that. Especially in Germany, everybody looked at me like, but he would serve it. Just go around to every room and give people prasadam and tell them about Krishna, even though himself was probably sicker than most of them. But that was his, he had unlimited preaching spirit. He would travel by himself, and if the temple wanted him to, just sell incense. He would never stay in a hotel or spend any money. He would just sleep outside somewhere. Then he would wake up and have a Mangal Arati and chant, and then he would do his service. Great example that we should study. And then we have, you know, other more things. We have Prabhupada, Lilamrita. We have, you know, the history of the Goswamis, and so many great personalities. And if we think about them, then we'll, you know, you'll gradually, whoever you think about, you want to be like them. In Indonesia, after that bombing in America, that airplane thing, sales of t-shirts that with Bin Laden's picture went way up. So many of the young boys, they want to be like him. He's a hero. The heroes that we see today, that, you know, there's no role model for anybody, for young people. Most of the old people are corrupt, liars, cheaters, know, exploiters everywhere, you know, abusing. There's the signs in Enugu, one says, domestic violence is a family tradition that we can live without. Everybody understand that? You know what domestic violence is? Huh? It's a contradiction of terms, actually, because domestic is supposed to mean, isn't it, peaceful? So domestic violence, but it means, domestic means in the house. So that means that the wife beats up the husband, or the children beat up their mother, things like that. Another sign said, say no to child abuse. Another sign said, domestic violence is a crime against human rights. And it said other things also. So that indicates that these things are going on somewhere, and a few people at least, you know, feel like it's bad. But many people say, you know, that's what they say, it's a family tradition. My father beat me, my father beat my mother, so I beat my wife, I beat my children. That's the way it should be, right? Everyone else is cheating me, so I'll cheat someone. Everyone else is drunk, so I'll get drunk. But depending on who we meditate on, you know, we'll follow. So we should try to meditate on these great personalities. Tomorrow, we usually like to meditate on Hiranyakasipu. But the major part of that seventh canto is about Prahlad. There's much more chapters about the divine character of Prahlad Maharaj, and much more of his prayers than we have teachings of Hiranyakasipu. Although we have his example to show us what not to be, but in Kali Yuga, many people, they want to be like it. You know, that's the goal, right? Hiranya means what? Anybody know?
Gold.
And Kashipu?
Soft bed.
So a soft bed means to have lots of girls in the bed. At least one, right? That, and not just that you have a big foam, you know, that you can sink down in and drown, but you have women in the bed. You can enjoy. And so he wanted money and gold. Gold and sex. And that's basically what everybody wants. Right? They even go to church to get money. Go to the church to pray and give the pastor your money so he'll pray for you that you can get more money. That's called Kaitava Dharma. Materially motivated religion, which is rejected by Srimad Bhagavatam, but not rejected by most people. In the Bible, I think Jesus said something like, don't make your treasure on earth. Right? Something like that. You know, there's a better world beyond this world. We have to live in this world, but it's a prison house. We don't want to just spend our whole life decorating the prison house. We want to be prepared to get out from the prison and go to be with Krishna. So if we're actually engaged in this life, chanting and serving Krishna, hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, then we're already in the spiritual world, but we may not realize it. There's nothing more in the spiritual world. That's what everyone does. They chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they dance and they enjoy serving Krishna in unlimited varieties of ways. And that's what we want to do. We want to serve Krishna. Right? I hope. That's why everyone is here. Some are here to get their initiation. I hope that all those candidates for initiation are seriously wanting to be better able to serve the spiritual master, which means by, I repeat again, I ask His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj for a message for the applicant. First thing he said was, stop quarreling amongst yourselves. I don't know if anybody wants to stop, but it would be a good idea. It's a hindrance. It means we're surrendering to Kali. We're thinking, I can't surrender to the temple, I can't surrender to Guru, I can't surrender to Krishna, but I can surrender to Kali and quarrel. Then he said, worship the deities properly. He said quite a bit on that issue, but he said, you know, we've lost a few temples due to deity offenses. He distributed books, and then he thought for a while, and he said, and make sure to remember that Srila Prabhupada books are the most important. And we have many other books, but they're all meant to enlighten us, to understand Srila Prabhupada's books and be more enthused to study Srila Prabhupada books more. Most important thing. So if we're getting initiated, but like sometimes people get initiated and then we find out years later that they weren't even chanting their rounds at that time. You know, they just said they were because they thought they're supposed to get initiated. Right? These things happen. And many people give it up, but there was a nice song when I was young called Don't Make Promises You Can't Keep. Nice message. So when you promise a guru, you promise Krishna, you promise in front of all the devotees, you know, it's not a joke that you can just say, well, I changed my mind, or it's hard. I have to have sex. You know, I didn't realize. If you haven't realized, then don't promise, please. Because it's not good for you or the guru or anyone. Not good for the reputation of the movement that we get initiated and we give it up. You know, that one day someone is a big devotee and the next day they're not. It makes people confused. It's not that hard if we take shelter of Krishna. Krishna says, Maya Saktat Manakartat. No, what is it? That Mama Maya Duratyaya. This Maya, my Maya, is very difficult to deal with. But Mameva Ye Prapadyante, when one simply surrenders unto me, then Maya Metam Tarantite, then he very easily crosses over Maya. Because when we surrender to Krishna, we take help from Krishna. Maya stays behind Krishna and she can't bother us. We may see her, you know, peeking around, waiting for us to forget Krishna. But as long as we keep Krishna in the front, then Maya can't come. And then we can make advancement, can be happy all the time, we can be enlivened to preach to everyone and anyone, and Krishna can give us, you know, things. But here, he also mentioned that in Africa, it's kind of a unique situation, but most of the property, all the property, most is owned. You know, the temple that owns the property. Most places, either they're paying rent or they're paying very big payments to the bank every month. It's tremendous, you know, work. But here, we own the property, so we don't really have, you know, that's like a huge thing. And it should, you know, be grateful and don't worry and just get out and preach. Because the more we preach, the more we make friends, and the more people know who we are, the more people appreciate us, and then the more everything becomes easy to accomplish. So things are picking up quite a bit in Nigeria. But we want to get many new devotees. In order to get new ones, the old ones have to be happy. If you're not happy, ultimately, according to our philosophy, if we're not happy, it's because we're making offenses when we're chanting. That we have to face that fact and then try to root out those, you know, those problems. It's not that anyone else can make you unhappy. A devotee will be unhappy to see another person suffering, but that's a different kind of unhappiness. But it's all between us and Krishna. So if we're really chanting clearly and carefully and prayerfully, then you know that person who does that will always be happy. Even you know people say many things. We passed one statue in the middle of the road in Enugu. It said, "Real happiness is helping others." And the Lord helps those who help themselves. Prabhupada quoted that one many, many times. That's an English proverb, I think. The Lord helps those who help themselves. I think anyone can understand that. Quite simple. But don't wait around for someone else to help you, you know, to make spiritual advancement. Don't wait around for someone else to help you do some service. Just do it. Because when we help ourselves, when we take shelter of Krishna and we just go and do whatever we can do, then Krishna helps us. But if we're waiting around and Krishna, give me this, give me that, you should help me, I'm poor, I'm tired, then he won't help us. He works according to his rules. And if we follow his rules, then everything will be sublime, wonderful, glorious. And we'll have more and more chance to just get out and, you know, preach to sincere people, which there are so many of them in this country. Not only is this country one of the richest countries in the world in natural resources, one survey said that Nigerians are the happiest people in the world. A little hard to believe that one. But the people are basically very religious. You know, even on the bus, there's some Christian guy just shouting for an hour, and nobody stops him. I mean, no other country can even do that. You know, he starts singing some hymns, and people sing along with him. You know, it's a religious country. The people believe in God. You don't know what it's like in Asia or somewhere, and they never heard of God. They don't, not that they're against God. They have, it's just a black hole. For them, the universe is a black hole. The future is a black hole. There's nothing. They want nothing. They think that's the goal of life. Nothing. Very hard to fill it up, you know. But here, people believe in God. They want to know. Everywhere you go, someone asks you, well, tell me about your religion. Do you have this? Do you have that? So we should take advantage and just keep getting out. Show people. And even if you can't talk, if you don't know anything, you know, just put on tila, then everyone who sees you gets benefited. We want the young devotees, like in one city in Ghana, one devotee that's a senior, a very good preacher, he was preaching on the radio all the time. And then he went to America. So the radio is calling all the time for someone to come and preach, but no one will do it. They all think, then I met one devotee there, and I think he's a school teacher. He's initiated. He gives a Sunday feast lecture. I said, can't you go on the radio? Do you know the local language? Yeah, I know the... Can you go on the radio? If anybody can go on the radio and say, Chan Hare Krishna, you know, Krishna is God, Chan Hare Krishna, it'll make you happy, right? If you can give a Sunday feast, talk. But somehow they think, no, only this other guy. But the young devotees need to... You know, everybody's supposed to preach. Everyone should get out. You don't have to be, you know, any... In fact, sometimes a new devotee who's ever fresh and he can have a much bigger effect than the old one who's just like a parrot, you know. Hare Krishna. Chan Hare Krishna. Give me a donation. Hare Krishna. Give me a cracker. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You know, hum chum sarva papi yo. You know, sarva dharma pretty chad ya. Surrender to me. Give me a prasadam, give me money. Nobody cares for that. Nobody likes it. But if someone is just like, yeah, this is great, I was suffering like anything, and then I chanted, and I became so happy, everybody will really like that. And even the older devotees will get enlivened and remember, yeah, that happened to me also. That's why I joined, right? I mean, nobody went out and roped you in, put a chain around your neck, and dragged you to the temple, right? Did anybody come like that? By gunpoint? No. You came because you were in ecstasy. You were so happy to chant Hare Krishna and meet real people. But then, you know, if we don't work on our consciousness, then after a while we start to find fault with the devotees. Then when we criticize devotees, we lose our taste for chanting. And when we lose our taste for chanting, our taste for sense gratification increases. And then we say, these devotees, I can't stay here anymore. I have to leave because I am better than all of them. They don't understand that I'm the best devotee. So Prabhupada said Krishna's kicking them out, but they're thinking I'm leaving because these people are not. So we have to be careful. It's good to remember how ecstatic we were when we first chanted. Right? Everybody must have experienced. And then when we see new people, we're happy to see that. But and then when you become advanced like Jayananda, you experience that all the time. Every kirtan, every time you read the Bhagavad Gita, every time you take prasadam, you feel like this is a whole new life's experience. This is so wonderful. I've never done anything like this before. So we'll stop because I wanted to have this seminar that I want to do. I won't be speaking very much. The idea is that everyone contributes and it's called brainstorming. You heard of that? In business they do that. Everyone just gives their idea, whatever they're thinking of. There's nothing right or wrong. Just so that we get lots of things out so that we can then, you know, go through it again and see, you know, like what we can do to, you know, in many different ways. There's many different subjects, but we'll start with a few. So I don't know what the schedule is. Thank you all for being here. Hope to see more coming. And try to meditate on Prahlad Maharaj more than Hiranyakasipu. When we do drama, we see that, you know, any devotee is expert to be Hiranyakasipu. Right? Easy. Because we had a whole lifetime of being Hiranyakasipu. It's very easy. But to be Prahlad, you know, nobody knows how to act. To be a saintly person, you know, to be Narada Muni or something, well, you know. But to be the demon, to be Murgari the hunter or something, that's so easy. No problem. But we need to meditate and study and read about Prahlad and his saintly, you know, character, and then understand, you know, and take shelter. Pray to Prahlad for his mercy, that we can also be like that. Always remembering Krishna. Okay, Vineen Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Charges Divine Grace AC Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai.